Hey guys, it's Jessie.
And Hannah.
And welcome back to Maybe We've Been a Little Too Harsh.
Maybe we've been a little too harsh. That sounds like one I did before.
It sounds like what you did last week.
Oh, well, I added clapping. So it's just a draft. It's a second draft of the one from last week.
That's fair. I do like the clapping.
Thank you. I had to drop my phone to do it. It was a whole procedure. And my dog is trying to eat my earbuds, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Speaking of a lot going on, why don't you start us off with the updates?
Oh my God. My life is so stressful right now. So,
yeah.
My grandfather is in the hospital with COVID, which is really scary.
Uh-huh.
He's on oxygen. He's doing okay right now.
Okay.
My grandmother also has COVID, but she is at home.
Uh-huh.
And she has pretty advanced Parkinson's and some other health problems, so she has to have a carer with her all the time.
Yeah.
So it's been hard finding someone who will still come and care for her while she has COVID.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, but, like, she needs someone. So my aunts have been working really hard on that, and I love them so much.
Okay.
More personally, I got an email from my building saying that they were coming in to change our air filters next week.
No.
And if you know anything about me, it's that my apartment is a scary hoarder's den. That can't be seen by human eyes. So I've been cleaning frantically. I have to re-record this. I'm going over to get Benny, and Benny's going to come here and help me clean. I love him so much. But I'm freaking out about it. I do not want people in my apartment.
Yeah. My mind immediately went to that you're only supposed to have two animals and you have five.
Yeah, the maintenance guy doesn't give a shit.
Okay.
And the cats will probably hide anyway, and Eli will be with me wherever I am.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking you would have to move them probably, but I mean, that's also not that hard. I just get stressed out about relocating pets.
Yeah, I'm going to trust the cats to hide, and I will probably be at my parents' house with Eli.
That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, and my sister told me I don't get Monday off, which is really frustrating, because it's Martin Luther King Day, so she's basically being racist by not giving me the day off.
I don't even know if I have the day off.
You should find out.
I should probably check. I never fucking know.
Benny has off until Thursday.
My dad took off till Thursday. I have literally
no idea.
Benny,
like, just has it off. Like, they're not taking any off. They just have it off.
What the hell? Well, is that because of... That's because of the inauguration.
Yes.
Is it MLK Day, something, and then inauguration's on Wednesday.
I thought the inauguration was Tuesday.
What the hell? Hold
on.
Let me pull up the calendar.
Eli,
no, it's me not knowing the time and how days work. No, the inauguration's on the 20th.
Oh, okay.
God damn it. I can't believe I have a fucking meeting at 11 on the 20th. I'm going to be like, you cannot expect me to be here when
seriously,
there's
dumb.
Gonna be multiple assassination attempts
seriously.
On different, like, U.S. leaders across the whole fucking country. Ugh. And then I have my first nutrition appointment that afternoon because I'm not gonna steamroll your thing. This is just like
I'm pretty much done. But speaking of nutrition stuff, I got a scale because I broke my scale because I flooded my bathroom and the scale was a casualty. So I got a new scale and I was like, I haven't weighed myself in like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know vaguely how much weight I've gained in the past 6 months, but I was like, what if it's more than I thought it was? And I was really nervous, but it was like pretty much exactly spot on what I assumed, which is not a good number, but at least it's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, I'm about what I weighed last time I started losing weight. So I've been here before.
Yeah, it's
and
not the end
last
of the
time
world.
It took me like 6 months to lose it. That's just not a long time.
Mm-mm.
So I can, today I started, I'm putting in 6 months and I'm going to get back to where I want to be in time for the wedding, which isn't for a year and a half. So I have plenty of time.
Yeah. And you were really happy when you were able to lose the weight last time. So
yeah. I felt really good.
Be happy when you get to your goal again.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah. The reason I'm going to a nutritionist, is not because of weight. It's because I literally don't know what I can eat anymore, without fucking feeling so, like, just, like, so sick. Either, like, because I can't digest it, or, like, meaning I either become constipated and am in so much pain, or I'm in so much pain and have diarrhea, which that's rare. That's, like, not the kind of IBS that I usually have. And the Adderall, oh, you're now going to get to witness the ear cleaning.
I know!
Cleaning.
Oh, kitties.
Yeah. They are obsessed with each other. For everyone listening, because you can't see it, but Bulby just jumped up onto my bed where Remy is sleeping, and now he's cleaning his ears. So,
that's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I can't fucking eat anything. And that's also, like, I think it's gotten a little bit worse with the Adderall, but then also I've been able to have fairly consistent bowel movements lately. So, I mean, like, since the coup, I, like,
okay.
had, like, a yes, few days where I was constipated again, and then, like, I kind of got it under control. I think this, well, not under control. It's been more successful this last week. So that's great. But the other problem is, and I think this is from the Adderall, is that, like, I can't even fathom eating certain foods anymore because it'll just straight up make me nauseous, meaning, like, chicken. Maybe it's because my
chicken.
Parents are bad at fucking cooking chicken, and I wish they would never do it again. It's so bad. But, like, genuinely, I will, like, look at it. I'll try to eat, like, 3 bites, and I will become so disgustingly nauseated that I cannot finish the meal. And then that's a bigger fucking problem because they never have any food that I can eat in the house anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to solve that part of the problem in terms of, like, now I know what vegetables I can eat without deciding that it will be easier to throw myself off of a cliff than have the food actually pass through my intestines. So that's the that hope is that they'll be like, you can eat this.
Last night I was trying to put a fitted sheet on my bed, and I have a king size bed.
Yes.
So it's like a workout.
Yes.
And I could not get it to stay on. I still have one corner that keeps coming up. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, has anyone ever killed themselves over a fitted sheet, or am I going to be the first person?
There's no way you're the first person. That cannot be true.
To legitimately commit suicide because of a fitted sheet. Because I was just getting so angry.
Yes.
And I am borderline.
No, I have literally
been everything that I'm angry
there.
About, I just think I'm going to kill myself. So
yes.
It was an event.
I mean, I have done the same thing. So
that just reminded me, you're throwing off a cliff reminded me of that.
I really would. It is just so awful to, like, sit in the kitchen and be like, well, I can't eat this. I can't eat this other thing. Well, there's actually nothing I can digest in the house. And the things that are here that maybe I could, like, suffer through are nauseating to me. It sucks, and I hate it, and that's really frustrating, and I can't see my GI until the 9th, and I can't guarantee that I will have, bowel movements once every 2 days like I've been having.
Sure.
Which I know you're supposed to have them every day. Not me.
I don't think I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just know it's, you know, you definitely should be having them more than once every 2.5 weeks. That's the problem.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and that's just been, like, so uncomfortable. And I, like, keep having to buy more clothes for the IBS. I call them my IBS clothes because they are, like, they don't put any pressure on my stomach, like, at all. And or they, like, I can still feel like I look good in it without the IBS being flared up.
I keep having to buy new clothes just because I keep gaining weight. But that's over now. We're done with the gaining weight.
Yeah.
We have finished that portion of our life, and we are moving on.
I've been losing weight because of the Adderall and not being able to even swallow anything. So fun, so good, so joyous. But with the bloating, it, like, is so uncomfortable that it's just, like, easier to keep wearing the clothes that don't really fit. You know, like, they will be falling down when I put them on in the morning, but then by the time it's evening, it's like, they're too tight, you have to take them off. So that's been really fun. Anyways, that's really not that interesting. It's just so frustrating.
I'm sure. Yeah, it sounds really terrible.
Yeah. Other than that, I finally put away my laundry today that's been sitting around for a full week. And I took out all my recycling that's been building for 2 weeks. And
I have been doing things like that, except it's been building for much more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was, like, fine until my stomach started being, like, a little bitch. And now I'm, like, I'm falling so behind on everything in my life. And now I can't do, like, all of my projects and get everything done all of the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm starting to get, like, all paranoid and shit about, like, I'll never be able to survive on my own after this pandemic because I feel like I am just so exhausted. Mm-hmm. And it takes so much out of me to do anything.
I know that feeling very well.
And, like, I already kind of did before, but I was still sort of, like, able to function. And I just feel like at this point, I'm, like, very concerned about the world starting up again, and I'm never able to catch up.
Yeah, I have similar fears.
Yeah.
It's a scary time to be a disabled person.
Yeah. Yeah. I, like, genuinely cannot imagine what my life is going to be like after this pandemic.
That's, I think, a big part of being disabled that people don't really talk about is not knowing what the future is going to look like.
Yeah.
Having no clear picture of it.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's really under-discussed, but it's, like, so true.
Yeah.
It's that we can't envision how things are going to go.
Yeah. Like, if I suddenly, like, were to regain my ability to fucking eat food, then, like, I would be a lot more fine. Because, you know, like, your stomach is your second brain, which
yeah. It
probably sounds crazy if you've never heard that before.
I have it, but I like it.
Oh, okay. It's, well, because your gut is where, like, your serotonin is made, and it's got, like, your brain obviously has, like, the most, like, neurons or whatever the fuck it is, but your stomach has the, I think it's nerve endings is what I'm thinking of. Your stomach has, like, the second highest amount of nerve endings. And so, like, if your, like, gut health is doing really poorly, it tends to have, like, a pretty bad impact on your brain. And that's also probably why a lot of ADHD meds, generally speaking, the immediate release Adderall can, like, trigger a bowel movement, which is interesting, and also makes you not fucking hungry ever, and the extended release can sort of, like, delay it just because of the way that it works with, like, the reuptake in, like, what is it called? The reuptake inhibitors?
Reuptake inhibitors, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, how the extra serotonin or the, like, not being produced enough serotonin, like, how it all works and blah, blah, blah. So, anyways, what I was trying to get at is that, like, if my stomach starts to be okay, then probably my brain will also follow suit and be a little bit more okay, in terms of, like, productivity and, like, ability to focus and get things done and blah, blah, blah. And I'm worried. I mean, like, obviously I can't predict it. That's what we're saying. And it's just very scary and stressful. I don't even know what to do. And I, like, can't talk to anyone about it because, I mean, you know, like, you have the same experience. I can't be, like, parents. I don't think I can take care of myself as an adult person because I have, like, 5 overlapping disabilities. And they'll be like, you can stand. I'm like, have you seen the massive amounts of fucking medication on my desk? I don't know about that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's, we just got to keep going and see what happens.
I know. I just, like, wish, like, it would be so much easier if we didn't live in, like late stage capitalism where, like, you have to be hyper productive to survive. And, you know, if we had fucking universal healthcare, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. When I get really stressed out about it, I'm like, just remember, you are an upper middle class Jew, and your parents have not cut you off yet. You've probably got a financial safety net there.
That reassures me as well, yes. As a fellow upper middle class Jew.
Yeah. I don't feel totally safe because I don't trust anyone. yeah. So, especially not my parents. But yeah, that's what I've been thinking about a lot. And Hannah came to a work thing that I did, and it was really awesome. And everyone thought that Hannah was very funny and very fun. They really liked the book, which was also about disability. So we just lots of disability chats lately. And my one student, Sarah, who also has like pet sat for my cats and whatever, and she and I are friends. She was, private messaging me the whole time and was like, "You two are the same person." It was like, I know.
That's amazing. So. Speaking of writing stuff, I forgot to update on that. I, started a new book. It is in verse, which is weird because I don't know if I'm good at it. I know. But
I
just
was not expecting that.
It just felt like it needed to be.
Okay.
So I'm trying that and we'll see how it goes. And I am now at $58 a month on my fanfic Patreon. So
wow. That's amazing.
I know. I'm very excited about it.
Wow. Yeah. You coming and talking about your writing at the Q&A really made me think like, damn, remember that book that you were like, you're going to write this, and then you put it on hold, and then we're like, no, I have to get a job, and I have to get more publishing credits now, today, or nothing else happens. Maybe you should get back to writing that, because Hannah's writing another book, and if she has success, then you're just going to hate yourself more for delaying your success.
The good news is I've never had success and never will, so
that is literally not true. You have 12 books published, so
yeah, and no money from them.
Yeah, but to me it's like the money isn't the thing, it's the accolades.
I do have accolades,
the credibility, you know.
I'm sure if I had money I would want the accolades, you know. So yes. It's like you can't win.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the thing that really motivates me. I don't know. Like, I finally got... you are going to drive me insane. I don't know if I don't think I ever talk about it on the podcast, but I have a YouTube channel that just hit 1,000 subscribers.
Nice!
Right at the end of the year. And I am going to end you, Bulby. I won't. He's my best friend. But...
No.
When you hit 1,000 subscribers, you can, get monetized. You can monetize your channel, blah, blah, blah. So I've been thinking about that a lot. Obviously, we're doing a very long chat about us and our lives.
We are.
Hopefully
we
no
are.
One cares. It's like a little bit more interesting than the episode. There's really not much there.
I love this episode.
Oh, I feel like we were getting set up for a lot of things as opposed to...
I mean, we are, but there's a lot that happens in this one that... I have a lot of feelings about. I mean, well, it's Brian and Justin, obviously.
Yes, yes. So, okay, this is, like, the end of it. But basically, I don't know, I have been, like, I feel like I just can't see myself ever taking, like, a sponsorship deal or, like, trying to make YouTube be, like, my primary source of income.
Yeah.
Just because, like, one... I just hate so many brands and companies, and I just, like, am such a bitch. There's no way I could, like, hawk their shit unless I was like, yes, you should buy this Diva Cup because, the fucking tampons are made of shit that's actually genuinely super fucking bad for you.
And they don't work.
And, yeah, and they are not legally required to say what's in it, so that's kind of fucked up. But, yeah, like, I could do one for that, but, like, all of the ones are like, oh, you should buy this t-shirt, huh? Can you see me ever trying to sell someone a t-shirt?
No.
No. And, like, I don't know, that's the kind of stuff that I think you have to do, and also, like, censoring yourself, like, you are, like, you can't talk about certain things, you have to censor certain words, and that's just, like, I'm morally against doing that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that's been on my mind a lot, too.
Well, you'll get money just from ads. You don't need sponsorships to start making some money from it.
No, but you can, get your ads, like, turned off, or, like, the money that you get per like 1,000 views, which is called CPM. I don't know what it fucking stands for, but whatever. It like is impacted based on like the content of the video, and like if you curse at all in the video, if you say like certain spicy words, like if you're talking about like coronavirus, they like kind of make you censor that word, because then you might like get demonetized or like booted from the algorithm, or yikes. Like, yeah, it's like very weird. And like you can't talk about pedophiles in like real and clear terms without having to censor yourself, and that is just so fucked and stupid to me. That
I mean, if you're not talking about coronavirus or pedophiles, what even is there to talk about?
I don't know, everyone's a fucking pedophile. So it's like, you have to talk about it.
Yep.
Basically, yes. That's, yeah, super not that interesting or important, but it was connected, so. Okay, let's talk about the episode then.
Okay, episode. So this one was called You Can Lead a Girl to Pussy. Ha ha ha, because Lita, pun. Our main plots were the lesbians, Emmett, and Brian and Justin.
Yes.
Michael didn't really do anything. Thank God. He gave some bad advice to Justin. Ted didn't really do anything but hang out as being a wingman for Emmett. And there was nothing with Deb and Vic, really.
Yeah.
Also, Vic being excluded from Emmett's presence was rude.
Also, where was the boyfriend? Where was he this whole episode? Where's Ben?
That's a great question. Where the fuck was Ben?
I don't know.
I didn't even notice he was missing. Yeah. I mean, they don't live together, so he's just off, meditating.
He usually has, like, a line. Like, he'll be at the diner or something easy.
The next episode is a Big Ben episode.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, let's just go, like, plot by plot. Let's start with the lesbians.
Okay. So the lesbians are experiencing LBD.
Yeah.
And Lita's in their house and kind of hits on Lindsay.
Yes.
And then they have a spicy three-way.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucked. It was bad and I hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just, when they brought up lesbian bed death in the diner, when the guys did, Melanie didn't even bring it up. It felt so like, oh, this is the thing that we know about lesbians, as opposed to like friends teasing friends, which would have been more reasonable for their relationships. I hated that. Lindsay was incredibly unsexy.
Oh my God. She could not have been less sexy.
It was awful. It was so bad.
When they were
bad.
In that motel?
There are so many ways that they could have just, like, made the hotel work for them.
Yep.
Anyways, they shouldn't be together.
There's a little thing in that scene at the motel I noticed this time. Yeah. Melanie's wearing a skirt and Lindsay's wearing pants. And I thought that was a cool kind of role shift.
Oh, I totally didn't notice that.
People are so quick to say, Lindsay's the femme and Melanie's the butch. And I'm like, they're both pretty femme. And it annoys me that people think that one person has to be butch and one person has to be femme. So I like seeing Melanie in dresses and skirts and seeing her dress up a little bit.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I don't know. I feel like Melanie is butch. I mean, not like, okay, one, there absolutely does not have to be and probably shouldn't be one butch, one femme. Personally, I would be shocked to ever be in a long-term relationship with someone who's butch, just because I am really drawn to femme people. So, like,
see, I'm not at all.
Okay.
I like to look at femme people, but, like, generally my type is, like, somewhat androgynous people of any gender.
I mean, I like androgynous people as well, but not like, do you know what a Hey Mama's lesbian is?
I do not.
Oh, then I can't really explain it. But I guess, like, ugh, how the fuck do you explain it? I guess, like, Moira, before he became Max.
Sure. Max
pre realizing that he is Max.
Yes.
That is, I guess, maybe more closer to what I think of as Butch than Shane.
Yeah.
Who I would say is more, like, androgynous. Like, I feel like Butch is still very lesbian in the way that it is, like, I'm trying to say that, like, Butch is a, like, fashion expression that comes from being lesbian, whereas, androgyny, which I feel like is a lot closer to Shane, or, like, you know, 90% of anyone that I can ever even think of, would be, it's like a gender choice. Like, a choice to express your gender in that way.
I get that.
Yeah.
I know I really hate when people call me Butch. I just don't like the word. I don't like how it sounds.
You're not Butch. I would say...
I know. And people say that I am because I have short hair and, like, I wear pants sometimes.
Yeah. I would say you're, like, a chapstick lesbian. Which is also
what I say.
I think Lindsay's a chapstick lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Melanie is soft Butch.
She gets a little more femme in later seasons. So I think that's probably influencing me. There's this really prominent scene in season 4 where she's wearing this wrap dress and she looks great. And
okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
From where we are right now, I would definitely say soft Butch. But I think they femme her up a little bit. I definitely don't know what's gonna... Yeah. The three-way looked fucking terrible.
Yes.
You know the three-way in the very first season of The L Word when... Bette and Tina are trying to get someone to impregnate Tina because they are disgusting. Yes. And they're like, we're going to have a three-way with this man because men want sex. And it was awful and so awkward. That was what the sex scene was exactly like.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I don't know what three-ways look like from the outside. I've never witnessed one. I've been in one, but it probably looked weird. Like, I don't know.
Probably, but it was like... The way that they filmed it, it was like two people are doing things and the other one's standing there awkwardly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't seem natural at all.
I'm trying to remember my three-way experience like more vividly to see if that was really the case. I do like, and this is coming from someone who doesn't like sex, that during three-ways you can kind of just like tap out for a little while and be like, I'm just going to take a break, get some water, you two keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like that aspect of it. So I know that there was that. But I would say most of the time, it was all three people engaged in something.
Yeah.
Like, I would be getting oral sex from a girl while she would be making out with a guy.
Yeah, yeah,
no, that
yeah,
just makes
yeah.
sense, because then her mouth is in two places at once.
Yeah.
The guy would be, like, fingering her. There we go.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I'd be, like, sitting on her face, and the guy would be fingering her.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So people are doing
stuff. But they were
the
couple, and I was brought in as the third. So
okay, okay.
They were more definitely more about, like, we're going to experience Hannah. We're going to make this about Hannah.
Uh-huh,
because
uh-huh.
I was new and interesting.
But see, then that's probably what would have been more, like, a more logical or, like, natural feeling course of action for them to do in the blocking. Rather than have Lita just stand off to the side, Lita should have been, like, the focus, I guess.
I agree. I agree.
So idiotic. It was just badly done. And I felt like it was just so inconsistent, like, the motivations that everyone had in this plot. It was weird.
Yeah. I don't get why Lita is at all attracted to Melanie and Lindsay, because they're so drastically unsexy as a couple.
Yes.
Melanie is hot, but Melanie with Lindsay is not hot.
No, not at all. I definitely understand maybe the... draw of corrupting Lindsay. That would make sense coming from Lita, but otherwise not so much.
The good news is Lita was hot and continued to look hot.
Yes.
I really liked this one scene. She was wearing just a tank top and jeans with her top button unbuttoned, which is what Brian wears all the time. So it was a cute little parallel between the two of them.
Cute. I love that.
I really wish we had more of Lita and Brian together. All we got was that one scene where Lita offered to fuck him.
I hope they did.
I have to believe that they did. It's very important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, then. Do we want to talk Emmett? About... we can move to Emmett. Yeah.
Let's do Emmett.
So I love this a lot.
Oh, okay. See, I don't like this plot because I feel like every show has done it.
Yes, but... Yeah, maybe it's just because I like Emmett. But it felt... Other than the scene that I texted you about, we'll talk about in a second. Other than the... It just felt more meaningful, I guess, because it felt consistent with who Emmett is. And him wanting to honor George's legacy, and also, like, to him, like, he has already experienced periods where he's made a lot of money, and then he hasn't made, like, any money, or he hasn't had a source of income or whatever. And for him, like, the money, like, yes, it was awesome and meaningful, and definitely a big sigh of relief, but it was more important to him to, I guess, like, show other people, like, how important they are to him. And that was really consistent with, like, him throughout, you know, the first season and so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's always just fun to see how Emmett reacts to different situations because he's so, like, effusive and expressive. So it's like...
Yes.
Like, when he was crying at the bank, like, that's kind of stuff is... You only get that from Emmett.
It was so... funny. I loved it. I don't know. It was just so, like, of course he would be, like, so nervous and, like, over the top and, like, stuff like that.
I love the scene where he's giving out the presents.
It was, oh, that was so good.
Except, it makes me laugh that some of them are so boring. Like, paying off the mortgage on Michael's comic book store is all they could think of for Michael.
But, like, he just took this risky financial venture. I don't know. It made sense to me.
It just says nothing about Michael's personality, I guess. Whereas, like, Ted got tickets to the opera, which is, like, very Ted.
And he cried, and, oh, it was just, you could, it felt so real for the two of them.
Yeah. But, like, he could have taken care of some of Vic's medical bills. That would have been sweet.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't think of anything. They were like, Vic's just not going to be here.
I mean, Vic's not a main cast member, so they just don't have him in every episode.
Yeah. I did like that he got Debbie a bracelet, you know, because she never really gets to feel like she's anything other than working class.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was meaningful for her. And I love that he took what was going to be for him and George and turned it into, like, you know, this romantic opportunity for Brian and Justin.
There's a nice little moment where the trip is phrased as just for Justin, and then Emmett says, when you and Brian are in Italy. And it's like, I just like the assumption that he would be going with Brian.
Yes.
It's sweet.
It is sweet. But I hated, could not stand the scene after the guy at the bank gives Emmett the, first of all, your bank is not the the executor of the will? No.
Executor.
The executor of the will. So, first of all, the bank would not be the one suddenly there's money in the bank. I know that was for, like, plot purposes. It's more dramatic. But they would not be doing that, so therefore they would not have that fucking VHS tape. That drove me up a wall. I was like, this is gonna bother me so bad. And the fucking scene where he's talking to... George, oh my god, it was like, okay, this is Emmett's audition for the local Pittsburgh Players Guild. Like, shut the fuck up. Anyways, I needed to say that. That's my two cents.
I think that scene's funny because I like how George anticipates everything that Emmett's going to say. I think it's sweet.
I have just seen it done better, and at this point, like, I'd rather watch the fucking weird video of Kim Kardashian's dad hologram talking to her than see this, you know?
I have not seen that video, thankfully.
It is insane, and he says some weird stuff in it.
Yeah, because
don't watch it.
I won't.
So, Yeah. Okay, I guess we got to talk about Brian and Justin.
All right, right, Brian and Justin. This is another one that's hard and frustrating.
Yeah.
And one where I used to come down on Justin's side, and now I'm, like, fully on Brian's.
Oh, totally Brian's in the right this whole time.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, other than at the beginning.
Well, the scene at the beginning when Brian says he wants to go away with him for a week is adorable.
Yeah. But him, like, not wanting to go at first was, like, a little weird.
I mean, he wanted to go for a week. He just said, I don't want to go away with you for a weekend. I want to go away with you for a whole fucking week.
Oh,
it's like, yeah. And then he says, you know, we deserve a week of snowboarding and fucking your brains out. And he was all over Justin when they came out of the club. And he's just, like, very in love in this scene. And it's sweet. Yes.
It was very sweet. So,
Brian's...
Why were you ever on Justin's side?
Because I mean, there's still something Brian does that I do not like.
Okay. Explain.
The scene when Brian tells Justin that he's not going snowboarding, he's going to Chicago, that is not how we should have broken that news to Justin. He should not have just been packing and then gone, I'm not going snowboarding. That was cowardly. And he didn't want to see Justin disappointed.
Yeah.
So he just was a coward about it. And if he had just sat Justin down and explained it to him, I think everything would have been fine. So once again, it's this communication breakdown between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the actual situations that are the problem, it's the communication.
Yeah, I almost don't even view it as, like, cowardly, more so, like, arrogant. And it is this repeat, I guess, of him seeing himself as the adult and Justin as the child in the relationship. Yep. And that is not okay.
Yeah. One thing I really like about their relationship is that I think Brian rarely treats Justin like a child.
Yeah, so when he does, it's annoying.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Especially when he holds it over Justin's head that his job pays for school.
Like, he didn't want you to pay for school.
Yeah. So that's not great. But there are really good moments for them in this. The scene when they're in the bar and Emmett's telling about the money and Justin's like, it's our first time going away together. I found a gay B&B. Like, it's sweet. And Brian is just, like, into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But his company gets bought by this guy, Gardner Vance, who I'm obsessed with.
I know. You told me that. I'm just not impressed yet.
Brian have some really fun scenes together. He and Brian end up getting along really well.
Oh, good.
And we get more scenes of Brian at work, which I like.
Yeah.
And him just shooting this shit with Gardner. And it's a good relationship. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that this, like, forced... I don't know. Not, like, forced... I liked that Brian had to show some actual chutzpah in order to, like, impress his boss, because he's just been presented as impressive in every aspect of his life up until now. And so it's nice to, like, see him actually have to try something.
Yes. So, and he succeed. Did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just lost my train of thought. What you said. Mm-hmm. And I like seeing him scared and concerned.
Yes, yes.
Oh, what I was going to say is that the big plot of season 3 revolves around Brian's job and what he's doing at work.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, and it's very cool. So we see a lot of Gardner, we see a lot of Brian working. So like that. Eli! I don't even know what he's barking at. He just ran into the living room and started barking.
Yeah.
Eli, come here. Come here. That's my good boy. Hi, sweetie.
I do like that there was, like, at the beginning of the episode, this sort of, like, expectation that was set for us that, like, I had definitely didn't even know that he wanted to make partner. Like, that kind of makes sense, but I was not the first thing on my mind. So then to have them set that up and then have him, his, like, I guess... sort of fall from grace, because that was then jeopardized, and then, like, he's able to secure it. I don't know. It was, like, a really good arc this episode
for him. I agree. And I love watching Brian at work. I loved watching him charm the client.
Yeah, that was really nice. I did not like seeing him have sex with that guy on the copy machine. It yeah. just was so stupid and so it gimmicky. It is stupid.
So, we have to talk about the iconic line in this episode when Brian walks into the loft after being made partner.
Uh-huh.
And says, "Hey, Sunshine, come congratulate me. Your partner just made partner."
Yeah, it was cute. I loved that.
Yeah, this is him calling Justin his partner, which is like, what? If Justin had just been there to hear that,
yeah,
things yeah. would be so much different.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't even want to tell the boys the news. He just wants to tell Justin.
I know. I love that. That was so genius to me.
His excited little, "Where's Justin?" And I'm like, "Where is yeah. he? I've got news." And
then he just, like, Vermont. He doesn't even say anything to them when they're yeah, like, he's in Vermont. He just, like, lights a cigarette and walks away. And
yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. It was so good.
And it goes into a Queen song. Oh, it's so good.
Perfect.
Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy is one of my favorite Queen songs. So
it's really good.
I love that music, too. Justin going to Vermont on his own. I kind of love it. I don't love that he's spending Brian's money to do it.
It's so like what we already saw when he went to New York, okay? Yeah. Like, I'm not impressed.
I have to tell myself that the trip was non-refundable. And so it was either not going to get used or Justin was going to go on his own.
Okay. Which is reasonable.
Brian did say, "We're going to go another time." And Justin just... I mean, it sucks that he got blown off. That sucks.
Yeah.
And we also hear some frustration in the scene with Michael that he wants Brian to be jealous when Justin is with other guys, and he wants to be the only guy for Brian. So this game that they've set up where they bring tricks home and they pick out guys together and they have their rules is growing really stale for Justin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which sort of comes out of nowhere.
I agree. Well, yeah. Yes and no, because we knew that he was not happy with Brian's present from this last episode.
That's true.
Two episodes ago.
I have very... negative is a strong word, but like negative feelings mm-hmm. about the way that the series deals with Justin's feelings on monogamy versus non-monogamy.
That's fair. Okay.
Because I feel like it's inconsistent. And we'll talk about this more in season 3. But the message that it ultimately sends about monogamy, I think, is really eye-rolling and very 90s.
Oh.
Because these were... It's the series was created by gay men who were, you know, coming up in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. So, I think it's very dated. And that's one thing I address in fanfic a lot, is I have people call out Brian for his ideas just being, like, old-fashioned and boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really would love to see, I really would have loved to see at some point Justin choose non-monogamy.
Yes.
Or choose monogamy and have it work for him. And because it kind of, we'll talk about it more in season 3, but it's sort of just seems like always something that he's dragged into either way. And his feelings on it are not consistent.
Yes. And definitely here. It seems, I mean, I almost interpreted it as that he was frustrated with the way that their relationship functions as not being a choice that he had any input in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and like, that if he wants to be with Brian, this is how it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
In season 5, he goes through like a similar sort of thing.
Okay.
And I think it's done much better, which is saying something because season 2 is so much stronger than season 5 overall.
Yeah.
But his point of view makes a lot more sense, mostly just because he's older and he's been around the block now and has some idea of what he wants.
Okay.
Whereas here, but I do get the feeling that, like, Justin at this point is 18 years old, maybe 19. And he wants to try out what relationships are like. He's had one kind of relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's so young.
Mm-hmm.
So I do sympathize with Justin, even though I think he's in the wrong in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that all we have?
I guess so.
All right.
Hot or not.
Hot or not. Go for it.
My hot is going to go to Emmett. That's probably pretty obvious. Not only was it, like, I think a consistent character choice, like, coming from the writers, but I just, like, Emmett's reactions to, like, everything that was going on felt really genuine, and, like, even though we did say that, like, some of the gifts could have been better, it's, like, there was still thought put into them, you know?
Yes.
I don't know, it was just, like, a good episode for him, and he wasn't, like, totally sad and mopey and, like, blech. And I, you know, I do want to give honorable mention to Ted for being, like, a good friend and being his, like...
Yes.
I'm gonna help you through this thing that you don't know how to maneuver, so...
Ted and Emmett plots are always really fun. I like them together.
They're so good.
I'm gonna give mine to Brian.
That's fair.
Because he nails this account.
Yeah.
He opens up emotionally to Justin, even if it's in ways Justin isn't able to see.
Yes.
He wants to go away with him for a week. He calls him his partner. He's getting comfortable with this relationship, which is kind of the downfall, because as he's getting more comfortable, Justin is getting less comfortable. And they're not seeing it in each other.
Yeah. R.I.P. to anyone who can hear my brother just fucking turn on the vacuum. I'm pissed.
I can't hear it.
Okay, well, hopefully it is not being picked up through the microphone.
We're almost done anyway.
Wait, well, no, I was gonna say also, like, for your hot, like, I think, I don't know, I really appreciated Brian really putting his foot down and being like, no, if I don't, well, it's not like he had to put his foot down. Like, there was nothing Justin could do if Brian was gonna go or not go to Chicago. But he was like, this is what I have to do for, like, in order to take care of us. Like, financially. And I think that that's really important. I don't know. And it was, like, understated, but also, like, I think any adult who knows how money works and watched this is like, yes, that's a decision that makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, Justin's 18. He's not an adult who understands how money works.
No, because he's
I get
a baby.
Both the perspectives. He's a baby.
Yeah. R.I.P. to anyone who's listening and is 18. So.
You're a baby.
Yeah.
Get over it.
You'll realize that when you are like, oh, fuck, I spent all of my money because I was manic. Hopefully that's not your experience, but it certainly was mine multiple times.
You will get older and look back and think, oh, my God, how did I even get through that? Because I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, like, don't make bad decisions if you can help it.
Whenever I get annoyed at someone younger than me, I always think about how I was at their age. And since I've been terrible at every stage of my life, I'm always like, okay, I would not wish me as, you know, a 24-year-old on anybody. So, and I can do that for any year of my life.
God.
It's very convenient.
Yeah.
Not...
My knot is going to, God, it's got to go to Melanie.
Okay.
She needs to just fucking leave Lindsay. Just leave her, please. I'm begging. Also, I really just cannot stand her constantly cosplaying as poor. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want to see it. You're a fucking lawyer for crying out loud, get your shit together, and stop being a little bitch. You know, like, you don't have to go to a motel to, like, reinvigorate your sex life and then be like, well, we couldn't stay at the Ritz, so now we have to stay at this Fleabag motel. Like, get over yourself. Also, she, like, didn't even consult her partner at all regarding matters that affect both of them. And was like, Lita, you're gone. She's your friend who literally needs to stay in your house or she's fucking homeless. What is wrong with you? It was just unacceptable. So.
Yes. I'm going to round it out and give my nod to Lindsay.
Great,
just for being so incredibly unsexy. Just for being literally not hot.
Yes. The whole time.
Yes.
Also, she didn't even try in the motel. She was like, oh, you know what? It's just so irritating because, like, they had material presented to them on the TV that they really could have made work for them in mm-hmm. that moment with what they're trying to do. And then they were like, no, cooking show.
Yeah.
We're going to watch this instead. And Lindsay is just going to give up on trying to make this work. You could not give up, you know, actually.
Fucking lesbians.
It's not a lesbian problem. It is these...
It's these lesbians.
These lesbians.
I mean, fuck these lesbians specifically. Ugh. Okay, do you want to hear about next week?
Yes.
This is a rough one. This has a line from Brian that I literally feel it in my heart when he says it. Like, it might not affect you that much because you're not as insane as I am, but
I'm pretty insane. His voice...
Okay, good. His voice breaks when he's saying it, and it's something he doesn't talk about, and it's emotional.
Okay.
So that gets to me, but there's also just a lot of stuff. So it's called Sick, Sick, Sick. Michael's worst fears come true when Ben is hospitalized.
Ah!
Justin, yeah, so a lot of Ben. Justin wishes Brian was more romantic, like Ethan.
Shut up. Emmett
considers a $1 million offer to keep his relationship with George a secret.
$1 million, and he was given $10 million already.
Yeah, but they're gonna take the $10 million away.
What?
He just got sued for it.
No, he didn't get sued. They're contesting the will. All
right. Well, Emmett does not get $10 million. Sorry.
That is awful. What the fuck?
Yes.
That's how wills are supposed to work.
They must have had to return all those gifts. I don't know how it works.
Well, yeah, you better take the $1 million then, because that is ridiculous.
We'll see.
If I was given $10 million and someone was like, you have to, you can never tell anyone that you ate pork before January 16th, 2021, the day that we're recording this.
Sure.
And I will give you $1 million because I'm now taking every single cent that you have. I would be like, sure. It just makes perfect sense to me. I don't know.
Nothing about that made perfect sense.
You cannot have ever... You have to remove any evidence that you were ever Jewish before this date. And I also am taking any money that you ever earned from having been Jewish. And now, here is $1 million for being quiet. I would do it.
And for never being Jewish again?
No, up until that point.
Oh.
He can't then go and have a relationship with George. He's dead.
George is dead. But Judaism is not dead.
No, but I could then go and...
Judaism. The temptation will always be there.
I know.
Don't roll your eyes at me. You're
in the past. In the past. I couldn't have been Jewish before this date.
Okay.
But after this date, they can't do anything about that. That's what I was trying to say. You know? Like, Emmett can go and be gay with whoever else he wants now.
Yes.
Like, that seems fine to me, and I think he should take it, but basically you're saying to me that he's not going to take it, which I find inane and stupid, and I can't believe he doesn't get to keep the $10
million. Sorry.
Does he get single share in Schickle's Pickles? They're still making money.
I don't think he gets anything.
That is idiotic.
Mm.
Although, I don't know if I mentioned previously that the pickle thing makes a lot of sense for Pittsburgh, because there's this, I don't know, it's like all these fucking Polish people, so pickles. Why? Because we gave them pickles. You're welcome. Say thank you to the Jewish people.
Yep, you're welcome.
And you don't need... Wait, what? Now I'm confused about what I just said.
You said Jews gave pickles to...
Yeah.
Polish people.
So
I was saying you're welcome to the...
Oh, yes.
To the goys.
Yes. Sorry. I don't know why I wasn't caught up to speed, but I wasn't. I confused myself. But they, like, in the summer, have a festival called Picklesburg.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a whole pickle festival in Pittsburgh. It's very fun, very cool, with the only caveat being that they have no fucking taste in pickles, and everything's, like, dill or full sour.
I love full sours.
You are going to hell. Half sours are the only valid pickles.
I like half sours too, but I like them full sour. Mm-mm. Sour me up.
There is something wrong with you.
I would kill for a full sour pickle right now.
I would kill to know that I could eat a pickle right now. You know what I mean? I don't know if I can eat them.
That's sad. I actually have a jar of pickles in my car.
You left them in your car? It hasn't been opened.
Yeah, I just bought them like 6 months ago and just like never took them out of my car.
Well, you should throw those out. That sounds disgusting.
No, they're fine. They haven't been unsealed. They're fine.
But what about like the temperature? They've gone through a lot of temperature changes.
Yeah, so they might not be good, but they're not going to hurt you.
Okay.
They're unsealed. Nothing can get it. They're sealed. Nothing can get into it.
Okay. All right. I guess that's fine then. But I wouldn't eat them.
I might eat them.
Ugh. All right. Well, I guess that's it. We've really done a lot of talking this episode.
Yeah, this was long.
I'm sorry about that.
No, I think it was me drawing it out because I have to go get Benny and clean after this, and I don't want to clean. So I think I was just trying to extend this as long as physically possible.
Really? I feel like I just was like, talk. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, I enabled you.
Then this is it. We'll probably do it again next week because we aren't finished with the show yet. You can go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Hannah Mosk, at Jesse_Quinn, and at A Little Too Harsh. Thank you, and adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat.